Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 10, Number 8. In the last edition of Clinical Review, I discussed the importance of consistency from the inside out. Consistency is defined as dedicated conformity to a specific set of principles, actions, or belief. Consistency is a brother to persistence. It is that special quality in everyone that pushes us through the hard times and past the myriad of mainstream conventional excuses commonly used to justify missed workouts or nutrition applied with reckless abandon. Here's a thought. Everyone is consistent, but often consistent in the wrong areas, or they demonstrate a form of consistency that yields an extremely negative outcome. For example, it's possible for a person to be reliably unreliable or consistently inconsistent. Know anyone like that? You can't count on them, and this affects their reputation as well as your perception of their character. But because their behavior is consistent and therefore reliable, you can predict in advance what they're going to do or not do. The key here, to minimize any personal frustration, is not to fight against what is obvious or expect them to be any different. If you know in advance what a person is like based on repeated past performance, then don't get upset if they don't show up or if they're late. That would fulfill Einstein's definition of insanity, which is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. In this example, it is our expectations that are out of sync with reality. Consistency is only an outside observant effect of our behavior. The cause is located within the brain or soul, where our inner neural computer exists and from where everything is initiated. First we think, then we choose to act or not. Humans are volitional creatures, meaning the onus and responsibility to do what needs to be done is on us. We have to own up to what we do or don't do. Inaction has as much to do with our health and purpose as action does itself. So action and inaction, depending upon how they're applied, are both equal to each other. Not doing what's harmful is beneficial, but not doing what's essential will lead to damage. It was Aristotle who said that self-mastery consists in doing what we need to do with energy, enthusiasm, and true inner joy. Doing what we need to do to be well without any inner bitching or complaining, like brushing your teeth, getting to the gym, or eating like a champion on fire for optimum health. We do what we need to do with pure sincerity and genuine authenticity. On this edition of Clinical Review, let's explore principle of sports nutrition number 9, which is biochemical individuality. And this is a big one, really, really important to understand. It was Dr. Roger Williams who first introduced the modern world to the concept of biochemical individuality. He believed that genetics and nutrition were connected and that poor nutrition influenced gene expression in a very negative way. And boy, was he ever right. He was right on the money. Williams emphasized the importance of individuality as a crucial factor in nutrition, claiming that certain individuals must have special nutritional environments if they are to thrive. Now deceased, Dr. Williams was a professor of chemistry at the University of Texas, the author of several best-selling books, and the discoverer of pantothenic acid, otherwise known as vitamin B5, or the anti-stress vitamin. Suffice it to say that each person is genetically unique and therefore requires different quantities of the same nutrients to function in a state of optimum health and functional wellness. Eating the same way as everyone else in the family typically works for some better than others. It's what I call the family bowl thing. As kids, we all gather around the table to get our grits, and then basically we're all getting the same food. And as quickly as you can in my home, because those who were slow didn't get to eat as much. This might work for some members of the family, but for others, it leads to crippling disability and immune system impairment, because for those specific individuals, the family bowl just can't supply their unique biochemical needs. In fact, according to Dr. Abram Hoffer's vitamin dependency model, no amount of food could. From the viewpoint of genetics, imagine the possibility of a certain individual who requires a specific amount of, say, magnesium or thiamine that is too high to be obtained from diet alone, but required to catalyze a specific enzyme essential to the production of any number of organic metabolites. This failure to obtain what they need, or what we call the CHI prime directive, supply your biological demand, would lead to the consequence of not completing the biological equations that are required for optimum function. What if much of the heart disease, cancer, diabetes, mental illness, and defects in thyroid function we see in North America were actually caused by insufficient micronutrient supply as opposed to a germ, virus, or bacteria theory, or maybe due to incomplete nourishment, exposure to immunization and antibiotics as children, were simply set up for chronic illness? Is that too far beyond the conceivability of the concept? That we are individuals may come as no surprise, but when it comes to formulating a dietary strategy designed to optimize athletic performance and body composition, the Roman poet Titus Lucretius was right when he wrote more than 2,000 years ago, "What is man's meat is another man's poison." So how unique are we? Well, here's what Carl Sagan has to say about the topic. Human DNA is a coiled ladder, a billion nucleotides long. The number of useful ways of assembling nucleic acids is stupefyingly large. It's probably larger than the total number of atoms in the universe. Now, let me say that again. It's probably larger than the total number of atoms in the universe. Now, that's mind-boggling. How many worlds are there? How many galaxies? How many solar systems? How many stars and planets and moons and asteroids? Now, they're all made of atoms. This is an incomprehensible number. So this means, and this is still his quote, this means that the number of possible kinds of human beings is vastly greater than the number of human beings that have ever lived. I mean, that's incredible. More and more nutrition scientists are warning us about the implications of choosing the wrong food base. And it's no longer a question of simple deficiency. There are many naturally occurring food chemicals that may be incompatible to health. For example, theoglucosides occur naturally in the brassica family, which includes most varieties of cabbage, turnips, kale, rutabaga, watercress, and rapeseed. Individuals with known or suspected hypothyroidism should avoid eating these plants raw, as these substances are known to damage thyroid function or impair thyroid hormone activity. And of course, soy is another culprit. Nightshade vegetables, which include potatoes, tomatoes, red and green peppers, eggplant, and paprika, contain solanine, a glycoalkaloid associated with causing arthritic pain. Parsnips contain poisonous chemicals called sorrelins. Sorrelins are proven carcinogens. Spinach, rhubarb, and cocoa beans are high in oxalic acid, which interferes with calcium absorption. All breads and cereals contain phytates, which is a form of phytic acid, which bind with zinc, preventing its absorption from the intestinal tract into the blood. All foods are not created equal, and neither are we. The Declaration of Independence, which contains the oft-repeated phrase, "All men are created equal," was written by Thomas Jefferson, who, by the way, owned about 200 slaves at the time and never set any of them free, even upon his death. For Jefferson and many of the founding fathers, the phrase, "All men are created equal," really meant that all free property-owning males are created equal. It was obviously written with prejudice. So tuck that under your hat when you're referring to the Declaration of Independence and all of its amendments. Individual people differ not only in their genetic makeup, but also in their metabolic efficiency and nutritional requirements. One of the most important principles in natural medicine is the principle of individual biochemistry. Although we are all composed of the same elements and require many of the same essential nutrients for survival, each one of us will always exhibit a wide range of individual need. This factor is further complicated by lifestyle, climate, stress, emotional state, mental health, exercise, and environmental pollution. And if you don't think emotions play a role in health, as we know they do, there's an entire field of medicine dedicated to understanding that. Psychoneuroimmunology. Negative emotions have a very negative effect on your physiology, on your physical flesh. But I do have a client who went through the gamut of medical diagnosis and analysis, and at the end of the day, after weeks and months of evaluation, they couldn't find anything wrong with him, but there was a lot wrong with him. He was literally dissolving in a catabolic state, and it was 100% emotion. That's right. His perception of reality was absolutely affecting his physical state. So we really do need to upgrade our emotional health and become free of being dominated by negative emotions and the thinking associated, the misguided thinking that leads to emotions like that. Because remember that emotions are consequences of thought and not the other way around. When you look at a wall, the wall itself has no emotion. So your perception of the wall is what leads to a specific emotional consequence, and that is something we can control by first and foremost coming to terms with the fact that it's only a wall. That's all that is. I'm just using a wall as an example. Could be anything. Could be a bison. It could be a chair. It could be a bumblebee. Knowing your individual body type regarding how it works and how it functions is invaluable information. This knowledge will bring you closer to understanding your biochemical needs. By studying the research and examining different theories from various experts in the field, and I devote a whole module to this, Module 5 in the CSNA program, you can achieve more confidence in your food and exercise selection, which ultimately empowers your ability to build muscle, reduce body fat, and generally improve your health. There is definitely a certain satisfaction in knowing who you are. And what's more, you'll discover a means of confirming what you've always suspected to be true about yourself. Celebrate your uniqueness. Don't make the mistake of comparing yourself to anybody ever. You're nothing like them. In fact, no other human ever born, alive right now, or who will ever be born in the future is like you. They're nothing like you. You're incredibly unique. You're unique, baby, and that ain't bad. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening, and here's a quote from American novelist James F. Cooper. "All greatness of character is dependent on individuality. The man who has no other existence than that which he partakes in common with all around him will never have any other than an existence of mediocrity."